Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEN.
Welcome outside of Pendleton Heights High School for the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm your host, Ian Stevens, alongside me, Hayden Edmondson. Today we have head varsity football coach Jed Richmond for our first two segments, as well as starting quarterback Luke Candiano for our final segment. Welcome, Coach.
Hey, good morning.
So, Coach, a statement went on at homecoming. A strong second and third quarter helped pave your way for a 38-0 shutout win. What did you see out of your guys as they're getting back into their winning ways?
Well, you know, it's I talked about it a little bit last night. We want everything right now, you know, and I want it right now. And things take time. Anything worthwhile takes time. And it's unfortunate that we had to go through some of the hurdles that we had to get through and some of the tough days that we've had this last month of September. But the end result was a team that's grown up and a team that stayed together and never wavered. And that delayed gratification and that trust in the process, trust in oneself and trust in the team really got it done. That's what I saw, and I couldn't be prouder. We got a lot of work to do. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's many things last night that need fixed if we're going to be successful this Friday. And at the same time, though, we've gotten some things corrected, that's for sure. You don't beat a good team like that last night without getting better at some stuff.
So what did you see out of your offense last night? They had 347 yards on the game.
Yeah.
217 came from the ground, followed by 130 yards through the air.
Guys made plays. You know, I mean, the last couple weeks, missed opportunity. I mean, I wish there's no reason that this performance couldn't have been 2 weeks ago other than we got in our own way. I mean, and maybe we weren't ready yet for whatever reason. You know, and you guys have been at practice, and you know what we're harping on, what we're trying to teach, and what you guys are learning. But sometimes it's going through those tough times and learning things the hard ways. I mean, I've learned a lot of things the hard way in my life, too. And I was just real proud of guys making plays, you know. I mean, Javon Cole, you know, last week, numerous drops, stuck with it, made big plays. Even last night, had touchdown, you know, that they said he was out of bounds, and his arm was. But at the same time, he went up and made a play, you know, and big third down catch later in the game. And, you know, we're running the ball effectively, and we're mixing it in and out. And Luke's hanging in there in the pocket and delivering. And it just was a good team offensive performance. And, you know, and then they did some good things, too. They did some things we weren't expecting. We did not expect complete man coverage, and we adjusted just fine to that. They switched up their front as the game progressed, and we adjusted to that. And I thought we really kept our poise and did a good job.
So what did you see from sophomore running back James Malone as he ran for 130 yards on 14 carries and 2 touchdowns?
Well, his explosiveness, you know, and that's why he's a starter right now. He's stepped up and done a good job, and he's trusting that offensive line more and more. Now we got to work on our ball security, and that's the first fumble we've had all season from a running back. Week 7, I'm going to say that again, that's the first fumble we've given away all season long, and we're going to end it there. We're going to get better at it. And, you know, but he answered the call, did a good job. And, you know, he's making the line right, which is his job. So I was really proud of how hard he played. And we've got to continue to improve on our pass pro and our run blocking. But we've come a long way back there. Dresden came in, did a nice job. Same thing, though. We got to make sure we're getting better at all parts of being a running back, not just running the football, you know. It's kind of like coaching. Everybody wants to be the coach last night about 10:30. You know, they didn't want to be the coach too much last Friday, did they? You know, they didn't want to be the running back 2 weeks ago when he was getting 50 yards. You know, everybody wants to be the running back now, and that's kind of how life goes, right? Everybody wants the end result right now. Everybody just wants that instant success. And James has been through a heck of a season so far, and he's done a whale of a job, and I'm real proud of him. And at the same time, we got a lot of growth to happen to be our best. So I'm excited for today, and I'm really proud of how he played last night.
So last night your defense held Delta to only 2 first downs all night.
Yeah.
How effective was that in your win?
You know, I think we controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And, you know, the funny thing about defense, it's like they flew around and they played really hard. And we did not execute nearly to the level we need to. I sound like a Debbie Downer this morning, but that's just the way. They pulled. We missed our reads sometimes, but because of our effort, we killed it. You know, I think we set the tone definitely on the perimeter, on their option game. Air got had a couple big hits. Nolan Souders played really well. But again, we had some communication issues on the back end. And we didn't wrong arm the puller. We didn't keep our C gap integrity sometimes. There's a lot of little things in there where we threw them off because of how coach called the game. And Coach Hoot did a heck of a job. You gotta give a lot of credit to the coaches on that side, but also the players. They really played their butts off, and that masks some of our mess ups, you know. And the same thing on offense. When you play hard, good things happen. When we come off the ball, even though it's not perfect, man, we're able to make some plays. And so that's what I was really proud of. I mean, you don't hold a team like that to two first downs and just, you know, we didn't just walk out there and do that. Those kids played their butts off, and I'm really proud of them.
What have you seen out of Dominic Capo's consistency, as he was 5 of 5 for PAT last night and also sank a 27-yard field goal to get your team on the board?
Well, he's just steady, you know. I mean, he's doing a really good job for us. And, again, still little things to work on, you know. I mean, we're watching him and seeing what, you know, we can still get some more distance in here and there if we're a little more fundamental in some spots. But he's, you know, again, another young guy making plays and contributing and doing his part. And, you know, he's a guy we can count on. You know, let's be honest, that was a tight ball game. We had a couple high snaps, which was uncharacteristic, and a few miscues there offensively. We're held to a field goal, and, you know, and he banged it through. Did a good job, got us on the board, took some pressure off, right? Because, you know, we've been really emphasizing putting in the end zone all week. And then we, you know, we get a penalty, and we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot. I made I miscommunicated the motion, and, you know, we did some things that we were kind of pressing, and he really calmed everybody down and got some points on the board. And those are important points we talked about. I mean, Delta lost an overtime game on a missed extra point this year to Yorktown. That's how they lost. And, you know, I think I thought our PAT field goal did a really good job last night, and he's a big part of it.
So how does a win of this caliber set your team up for the final two games of this regular season?
Well, it depends how we take it. This win means as much as we allow it to. So it's either going to give us overconfidence and we're going to wait till Tuesday or Wednesday to come down from our high, and then we're going to lose. Or we're going to enjoy it and have some maturity with it and enjoy our weekend and come in hungry and ready to work. And when we do that, we got a chance. And then that confidence builds. And then we're working towards that sectional, which we all want. And that's always our goal. And I think, you know, this win is going to be whatever we want it to be. It's either going to build us for the future or it's going to knock us back, you know. And our goal is to continue to improve and to continue to sharpen those fundamentals so that we can continue to win ball games and make a deep run into the tournament.
So last night, Candiano was not sacked all night long. So what do you see out of the offensive line's effort to be able to keep a safe pocket for Luke?
Consistency, right? I mean, Jathan Howard got his first start last night. We got Caster back at tight end. We were able to run some two tight end sets. I thought those guys did a really good job communicating. You know, the backs have stepped in, done a good job. We got to continue to get better at that. But we picked up some of their movements. They kept them simple, but at the same time, we did a pretty good job. Good enough, you know, and we stepped up. And then Luke and the receivers are doing a nice job. We're getting better at scrambling. And when we scramble, knowing our rules as a receiver, and, you know, we got to continue to keep our poise so we can make plays down the field when that happens. But the consistency up front was really good last night. We controlled the line of scrimmage. And those guys are those are the guys that get it all started for us. And they're doing a good job right now. We got to continue to improve there.
So when we come back, we will have segment two as we talk over PJFL and youth programs here with Coach Richmond here on the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you have an event you'd like to promote? Make sure to go to 917WEEM.org and click on the WEEM community calendar. There you'll find the calendar and a link to the form you will need to fill out to have your event show up on the calendar. Again, everything you need to get the word out on your event is at the WEEM community calendar. Details online at 917WEEM.org.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 917 WEEM.
Welcome back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. For a segment here, we have Coach Richmond. We're focus on the PJFL and youth programs. But Coach, you're not only a high school football coach here, but also help with the PJFL. So what is it like for you coaching the next generation of Arabian football?
I mean, you realize your purpose in many ways, because there's so many kids down there, and we got so many guys that do such a good job. We're at record numbers in our youth league, 230 plus. Troy McKinley's been on the show this season, and he's done an outstanding job leading our program. And there's been a lot of people pave the way for this, right? You know, it definitely takes a village, and there's a buy-in and a mindset right now of unity and collaboration. And you know, they just are finishing their season. The tackle guys will start their horsepower postseason, which is a conference format. And we might have some teams due to necessity that we're able to allow in there. But there's different tournaments that happen after youth. And we don't necessarily do an all-star program, but we do a postseason program. And really, that's where Coach Ballard, the basketball coach, and I, head basketball coach Adam Ballard, and I really see eye to eye. Our goal is to train these kids to be ready for postseason. So we start that down in the third and fourth grade with this. And it's just it's a safe and fun environment. And the middle school is an extension of that. You know, our goal is to play a bunch of kids. Winning is important. Right, but developing these guys so that they, you know, they can be the best they can be. Football is one of those sports. Again, I'm on this. I mean, man, I'm on delayed gratification today. Like, that's the thing. But these guys, some of these guys, they're not going to be in the same position when they're in high school. So we got to keep them out. We got to keep them engaged. We got to keep them having fun. Blocking and tackling are blocking and tackling. So we want to teach those fundamentals at a young age, and we want that to continue through middle school. I mean, for crying out loud, I was a lineman when I started football. You know what I mean? I mean, if I was a lineman in high school, we'd have been in sad shape, man. You know, I'm a little heavier than men, but goodness, my 140-pound frame would not have gotten much done, you know? And I will tell you, we got a whole bunch of kids down there that love football. They love playing together. They understand what we're doing. And that's the whole thing. You know, I see guys out there all the time, and the purpose of it is to develop them, to give them something to be a part of that's bigger than themselves. And then, you know, you mix in the parade last night, which my two kids were in last night, and my wife and some others, and I've not been a part of that, right? So to hear how awesome that experience was, again, is a testament to this community and to our youth league. And you know, I had a conversation with Mr. Smith afterward last night, and last night felt back to normal in some ways. You know, it really did, and I hope the players felt that. But the community, man, it was special last night. You know, and we've been through a lot in the last year and a half, and you know, this isn't possible. You know, Mr. Hutton told me last week the sun's going to come up, we're going to be okay, and I know that, and you know that, and he knows that. But without his leadership, with the school board, without Miss Rickert, you know. Miss Rickert, you know, what a lot of people don't know, Miss Rickert's out here taping off areas last night after school. You know, she's a roll-up-the-sleeves kind of leader, and so's Mr. Smith. And they're out here working hard to make sure we had a homecoming. There's numerous schools didn't have a homecoming this year. And, man, I just can't thank them enough for all they put into this. And then I'm rolling in this morning, and we get up pretty early. Now, again, I kind of joked about this earlier, but everybody wants to be the coach last night about 10:30, right? Well, let me tell you something. Our custodians, they're cleaning up last night, okay? As I roll in this morning to break this film down before the sun's up, they're still out there cleaning up, you know? And I know we've had some immaturity going on here at the school, but those folks are working their butts off. And that's why this place is special. You know, everybody does their part. And there's a lot of people that made this homecoming happen. And sometimes we get lost in what we want versus being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's the thing. I think I'm so proud about this team. And to parallel back to our youth league, I talked to the eighth grade parents a little bit that were at our scrimmage on Thursday. And I hope, I can't wait to coach those kids. I hope they stick with it. But they got to buy in. Everybody's got to buy in. Because if you don't, then you should just go somewhere else. And that's no offense. Like, not, this isn't for everybody. You guys know that. Football isn't for everybody. But if you're going to be a part of it, there's a certain way we're going to go about it. And that's where a school like Delta and a school like us, we have the respect of others because how we go about our work. We're not perfect. But we're going to do it a certain way, and we're always going to represent this community in a positive way. And the PJFL is the front porch for our program for that. So really proud of how they're doing everything.
As a handful of your varsity players help out with the PJFL, whether it be coaching or reffing, what impact does it have on those kids?
Well, it's powerful. I mean, it's powerful. I mean, you know, I hope they want to grow up and be like you, you know, and that's pressure, right? I mean, you got to watch what you do when you're out in public, and you got to be careful what you say, and you have to understand, you maybe didn't sign up for that, you know. Charles Barkley's famous for saying, I'm not a role model, I'm a basketball player, when he was in the NBA. Listen, whether you want to be or not, you are. You are held on a higher standard. And, you know, there's a reason those kids pick certain numbers. You know what I mean? They want to be like you guys, you know, just like you wanted to be, like maybe your older brothers or like a player, you know. I mean, you know, it's not just that they're emulating the college players or the pro players. They're emulating you guys. And that's pretty special in such an awesome community like this. And those are the things that, you know, that's the fun part about being a part of this thing is you get to see that lineage and you get to see that crossover and those guys coming. And it's just pretty special. Very, very humbling.
Earlier this season, you hosted a program day, which is Pendleton players all the way from flag football to high school level. Mm-hmm. How impactful was that, and what do you look forward to about the program next year?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, some of the things we're doing, you don't know how impactful they'll be completely until we roll this through for a few years. But we're setting up traditions, and we're setting up expectations for years to come. And, you know, consistency and perseverance and persistence all go hand in hand, right? And so, like I said, everybody wants to be involved when it's going well. And not every level has won. Again, that's not the number one priority. We want to win. The goal is to win. But at the same time, it's all the other intangibles that go into it. And so that program day is just another kind of facet of what we're trying to do here and create a family and a K-12 program. And there's a direct connection. You know, if my son wasn't playing down there, I have a 7-year-old. I'd still be down there. We'd still be doing this stuff. It's not about coaching my own kids. You know, I don't know. I hope they play football through, but I don't know what they're going to do. And at the same time, though, I'm going to lead this program in a level that deserves. And when I was at Western Boone as my first head coaching job, they had a great youth program that we got rolling there. And those kids just wrapped up a three-peat. And that's kind of my goal long term, you know, is big, big goals and big dreams. So I hope. And I dream that this is just the beginning. So,
Coach, that is all we have for segment two. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Thank you.
When we come back, we have varsity quarterback Luke Candiano in the house here on the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Chris, last year was a challenge.
It was quite a challenge.
But we overcame it.
That's what life's all about, overcoming challenges together.
And I'm so proud of our entire state and our local communities for persevering through last year together. I'm Indiana High School Athletic Association Assistant Commissioner Carrie Schludecker.
and I'm Assistant Commissioner Chris Kaufman. Last year, we learned something that high school sports have always taught kids, how to overcome challenges through discipline and teamwork.
Our student athletes do it year in and year out.
And last year, they did it with limited to no attendance.
But this year, fans are back in the stands, and we want to see your enthusiasm.
So we're challenging you, the fans,
to buy a ticket to your school's next sporting event
and help the whole community persevere.
This is your team. This is your community. This is your IHSAA.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
Welcome back to the ASN Raven Sports Network Coaches Show here for our third and final segment. Welcome varsity quarterback Luke Candiano. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Last night you got that 38-0 shutout. Do you think that night or last night was a bounce back performance for the team overall?
Oh, for sure. You know, these last 3 weeks it's been, you know, it's hard getting your head beat in the last 3 weeks, especially losing, you know, 43-0, 35-3, you know. It's good to get a big win, especially on homecoming 38-0, just to build that confidence back within our team.
So you threw for 2 touchdowns for 130 yards last night. Did you feel more comfortable in the pocket last night compared to the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, part of that is schematically. You know, Mount Vernon, New Pal, they're very aggressive defenses. Delta was a little bit different. They were more, you know, had the blanket coverage and they didn't blitz as much. But, I mean, the guys up front, they had a lot of confidence in themselves. And we, same with the backfield, picking up those blitzes if they did, you know, the. But up front, they really did a great job just giving me time just so I could make plays and to distribute the ball to the wide receivers.
So how does this win help propel the team into the final 2 weeks of the regular season?
Oh, I mean, it's a confidence builder. You know, playing out in front of that many people and just getting a big win, you know. Winning in a big fashion is always good for the team. I mean, it builds your it gets guys in that don't play as much, so they have some confidence. You know, gives guys who have been struggling. You know, Javon Cole kind of had a rough week, but he bounced back in a huge way. You know, James Malone, sophomore, he had a great game last night. It builds confidence because we do have a lot of young guys, a lot of sophomores playing. It gives them confidence just with those game reps. So,
last night you were not sacked. What did you see from the offensive line? Their efforts to give you a clean pocket and running holes.
Communication. I mean, they talked when we got up to the line. They talked. We called the protection. The backs were on the same page. And then, if a guy did get by, I was able to scramble. You know, the wide receivers and I were on the same page there. But it's all started up front. I mean, their communication, their discipline, knowing where to be, when to be there, was what made that happen.
So the energy in the crowd last night was immaculate. Homecoming, a packed house, the first actual real homecoming we've had in about 2 years. So how does the team feed off that type of energy?
Well, I mean, one word to describe it was electric. I mean, when we ran out, about to run into Vander, I was like, this is the biggest crowd I've ever played under. Like, I mean, I had to calm myself down just because you don't play consistent. And it, like last year, you have half the fans there because of COVID. So, I mean, there's a lot of guys who haven't played under that big of a crowd before, and so everyone just had to calm. You know, we kind of started a little bit shaky, but once we got calmed down, we just used that energy to keep us going and never stopped. We kept that crowd with us, and then it made Delta not be able to do anything.
So as our last segment focused on PJFL and the youth programs, did you play in PJFL?
I did. I only played 1 year. My dad only let me play 1 year, and that was in sixth grade. So sixth grade was my first year of football. Pretty fun year. I did get to play with some of the guys I play with now, Sam Mosseny, Will Logan, two offensive linemen. We were pretty good, and we went undefeated, so good memories from that, just 1 year. But
so what position did you play back in your youth days?
I did play quarterback. Did play a little defense, wasn't very good at it, but I did play quarterback back in the youth leagues.
So what are your plans after high school?
Well, I'm still undecided. I did get an offer to play college football at DePaul. Wabash is also looking at me, so that's a possibility. I'm going to one of those two schools and possibly playing football, or I'm still thinking about going to a bigger school like Purdue University and just going there and just doing school. So I'm kind of on both sides. I'm unsure. I'm undecided there.
In your high school career, you've played several teams. What is your favorite to play against?
That's a good question. Man, I mean, I always like playing Mount Vernon New Pal just because of that rival. I mean, Greenfield's good to play. I can't really give you one answer. I mean, I like when it gets to conference, it gets a whole new level of play. And, you know, that conference play is a lot different than the non-conference play. So all these conference games, I mean, Mount Vernon, you know, that's always a really competitive game. I know it wasn't this year, but, I mean, there's still that competitiveness in the game. New Pal, I always like going to New Pal and playing there. Delta was, I really enjoyed playing Delta just because of how bad we played last year against them, and then being able to come out this year and really put it on them. So I do like playing Delta.
So what is your pregame ritual? Many people have different styles, but what is your pregame ritual?
You know, I always leave school early. I have 7th period study hall, so I leave school early, come home. Always try to take a nap. I'm a big napper, so I always try to get some type of nap in. My mom does a great job of making me food before the game, even though it's maybe 3:30. I always like getting some type of meal in. I don't really have one specific meal. I mean, it's kind of funny. I mean, she makes meatloaf a lot for me for pregame. I know that's kind of weird, but or some type of chicken. And then I come to the school. A lot of guys like to sit in the auxiliary gym. I don't necessarily. I like to sit in the locker room by myself. I don't really like to talk to anybody. I'm not a big music listener. I don't have earbuds in and listen to some hype playlist. I'm more just more calm, just kind of relaxing, I guess. That's my pregame ritual.
So whenever you go into a rival game, such as like Mount Vernon or something, what is the keys to locking it in and being able to stay focused for 48 minutes?
Not getting too involved with the stuff that's not necessarily important. You know, I think me especially kind of got, say, Delta homecoming. We got a lot of people there. You know, everyone's jacked up. So we kind of had a few bad drives to start the game. We just needed to come. I kind of got myself too caught up in the crowd and the event, which is normal. But, you know, but once I kind of erased that from my mind and just said, I can just let me play the game and not worry about that. So just not worrying about the things that are unneeded. You know, like if we warm up on their sideline, if we warm up on the opposite team's sideline and they're talking to us, you know, I remember 2 years ago, New Pal, when we played them, when my dad was still coaching, us quarterbacks and centers were in front of them and they were just talking to us and talking to us. There's whole student section making fun of us doing this and that. And it's just, I didn't play, that was my sophomore year, I was a backup. But just erasing that from your mind and not getting too caught up in the things that I shouldn't be caught up in, I guess.
So who has been your biggest role model on the team, even going back to your freshman year?
That's a good question. Really? Quarterback, I mean, all the quarterbacks I've played with, I mean, Christian Conkling, Kirby Hess, they were great role models, but Evan McMillan and I had a really good relationship last year. You know, we kind of had a little bit of a two-quarterback system. You know, he was for a little bit of part of the season, but, you know, we had no jealousy between each other if I got to play more or he got to play more, a series or two. You know, he really taught me how to be a leader on the team. Mostly, you know, I think he really, his relationship with me has been a big part of who I am today and who I am on this team this year.
So, what is the key to practice leading up to Yorktown this week?
Well, I think Coach Richmond, I kind of already said it, but, you know, big homecoming weekend, we come out with a big win, you know, but Monday, new week. You know, we can't get too caught up. Now, we can use this to our benefit, but we can't be, oh, we got one big win. You know, we have to refocus, rediscipline. You know, I think back to Coach Ballard when he spoke to us. That was 2 weeks ago, I want to say. You know, and I might be a little biased. I do play basketball. But when he was our speaker, be disciplined in our preparation. You know, and I think that really stuck to our team this week, of being disciplined and how important preparation. We can't just have a crappy week of practice and expect to play good in the game. You know, so I think that comes back to when it's Monday, we're preparing for Yorktown. So we have to be disciplined. We have to be ready to prepare. We can't get caught up. Oh, we beat Delta. You know, it's a new week. Now, we're going to enjoy it. I mean, we're going to have a great homecoming today. We're going to have fun. You know, we're going to enjoy it tomorrow. But then on Sunday, you know, we're going to have guys watch film. Or, I mean, get prepared, read the scouting report. So Monday, it just starts a new week.
That is all we have for Week 7 of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Be careful out there tonight as homecoming here at Pendleton Heights takes place. But make sure to tune in next Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 a.m. to catch Week 8 of the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. Luke, thanks for joining us here for our final segment. For Hayden Edmondson, I'm Ian Stevens, wishing you all a wonderful Saturday here on the Voice of the Arabians on 91.7 WEEM.